And into your ears.
Hello and welcome to a spooktacular shout out. I'm Andy Thomas.
And I'm Steffi Barnett with two T's. It's Halloween habits, and who better to come and talk to us than the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence?
Plus, Steffi Two T's has been off to report on Pagan Pride, so we'll have that one coming up for you later. Plus, the real meaning behind Halloween. You completely threw me there, haven't you? So, all coming today on Shout Out. Hello everyone.
Hello.
Good evening.
Happy Halloween.
Spooky.
Did you like the beginning?
Fantastic. Brilliant.
Scared me to death.
Well, that wasn't quite as bad as last year, because last year it just had the "and ever something completely" and then you got the scream. And I think I was broadcasting with Mitch and she literally jumped out of her seat as it hit the screen, which is quite funny.
Was it a recording of you screaming?
No, it's not me. Oh. It's not me. No.
Oh, wow. You should be involved in the making of it.
Well, I am involved in the making of it.
There's a thought, Andy, screaming at that high pitch and how that was achieved.
Yes.
Let's not think about that.
Yes. No. Now, I know it's Halloween and the like, but there is a bit more of a serious subject that we need to cover first off. Hopefully, we'll be joined by someone on the phone in a minute. But you may have seen in the news recently a story about a certain trans woman who's been sent to the male jail here in Bristol, Horfield Jail. And I think you know a bit more about it, don't you, Terry?
Well, myself and Ivan have come in to talk a little bit about it, yes.
Yeah.
Well, so a woman by the name of Tara Hudson.
Yeah, we've been following the story on the news, and
lots of breaking stuff all day.
Yeah, it's one of these sort of dynamic situations, and there's been a lot of falsehoods and misinformation being put out. But at the moment,
yeah, didn't the Independent actually say they were moved? She was being moved, and then that was cancelled.
She's actually still in jail at the moment, still in the male jail
in Horfield,
and apparently is receiving quite a lot of harassment at the moment. So
I'm not surprised, because the last couple of checks that Horfield got from the authorities gave it a much too violent.
It's all over the legal recognition of her gender, isn't it?
That's right. She's lived.
Me and Steph were talking about it before.
She hasn't changed her passport, which was the thing that was mentioned by the BBC. Yeah. You don't actually need your birth certificate changed. The government authorities will recognise it as long as you've got a letter from the psychiatrist or a surgeon. Or both.
Well, I didn't realise that. I thought it was your birth certificate you had to change, but that's not the case, is it?
No. According to the government, all they need is those two items, and they will change your passport and driving licence, as they've done with me, and including pensions and tax.
Yeah. I think we should mention that Ms Hudson has lived as a woman for the last 6 years, all of her adult life.
Yes. Yeah. Unfortunately, she didn't change her documents.
Yeah. And that's left the sticking her vulnerable. Point.
Yes.
But work is underfoot to get her out of there. There's a petition out on change.org at the moment, and I think within...
It's
like,
got thousands of signatures,
yeah, do you know,
isn't it?
I looked at about 6 o'clock this evening. It was up to 118,000 signatures on that, demanding for her to be moved, which is quite unprecedented.
It's about 20 times their original target, petition is.
Yep.
So, well, I know that the Independent reported that they had spoken to the jail again, or rather the authorities, probably not the jail themselves, and they had said that their policy is that they always follow the legal recognition of somebody's gender, that's their process to make sure if you have transitioned that you don't end up in the wrong jail. But in this situation, obviously, where she has lived as a woman all of her adult life, they can use their discretion and are reviewing the situation, I think, was the latest I heard, anyway.
Yeah. Well, they need to move up and get a move on, because she's only in there for 12 weeks, isn't she?
That's right.
By the time time the government have sorted that out, she'll be out anyway.
There is an appeal which is taking place tomorrow, but I'll tell you more about that later on.
Okay.
Actually.
We will. Cool. Well, speaking of which, it's time for some events, actually.
Oh, there we go.
Shall we get your jingle?
Yeah, hang on. Why not?
So, our pick of the week this week, I think one's following on from what we've been talking
about.
Well,
it is, yes.
Ivan, can you please be gentle with OS? She's precious.
All right, geez, okay. I'll treat her with kid gloves. But on a more serious note, though, we were talking just now about Tara Hudson, and her appeal is going on tomorrow at Bristol Crown Court. And the Bath Gender Equality Network, along with Bristol Pride, are going to have a rally outside the court, and they want everybody to stand together tomorrow at her appeal hearing. And they'll be meeting outside the Bristol Crown Court at 10 a.m. tomorrow, and that's in Small Street in Bristol, BS1 1DA, if you don't know where that is. And her appeal case is due to take place.
Is that the one ran for the bus? Bus depot.
Yeah, it's not very far. It's right in the middle of town. And it's going to take place between 10 and 1, and they want to make sure that she and the authorities know that she's not alone, and that over 100,000 people, well, as we said before, 118,000 people see her case as it is, as a backwards and archaic instance of injustice, which is how they're describing it. So they're asking you to grab banners of support, and because they say it looked much better for the news coverage, and join them for a few hours and making some noise outside the courthouse. So really important one there. Give Tara some support. So that's number one.
Cool.
Right, and also the next one's about members.
Oh, as in the networking group?
Yes. Not talking about anything else. They're back next week.
Well done. Lower the tone to my precious.
Oh, my goodness me. They're back next week, Wednesday, the 4th of November, 8 p.m, on the eve of Bonfire Night, for a drink special to put the bang back into your social life with their own style of social networking for gay, queer and bi guys. So they say, come along for a fiery cocktail and maybe that new connection will cause fireworks. So they've got some wonderful hosts there for a free glass of bubbles on arrival, and immerse yourself in the social world that is November members' drinks. There you go.
So you never catch me being smutty on air.
No, what?
Really?
He lowers
really?
The OS tone.
Are you sure? I've been collecting content to make adverts with, and you just keep coming up time and time again, Steph. Yeah. I don't know.
May I interject with something very brief, though, slander. Regarding the members? As you know, members get together with Indigo every year for a big do.
Oh, well, they do another one this year?
Yeah, a secret do. Yeah, well, this one's going to be on the 18th of December, and it's called The Voyage. Now, tickets aren't out. They will be available to everybody, but early bird specials are available to people who go along to Indigo meetings and the members meetings. So if you go along to members, you'll get a little pre-allocation of tickets if you need them, or they'll let you know where to get the...
They've been really good in previous years,
they have been. It was black and white last year, World War II the year before, and this year it's called The Voyage. It says, see that glimmer on the horizon, that chink of light in the clouds, escape from a world of grey to a land of plenty. So there you go.
Oh.
No idea what it's about. Secret location and everything.
Well, it's nice to have members back, of course, because it stopped for a little while, didn't it?
Yes, I think they're just doing slightly less often these days, aren't they?
Right.
So, yeah, cool. Just stringing it out a little bit.
Cool. Excellent. Thank you very much, Ivan.
You're welcome.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
The infamous. Hello, here we go. It's going again. The infamous Ghostbusters.
Get a grip of that mic.
Yeah, say something, Steph, because my microphone's breaking again.
I love Ghostbusters. In fact, Ivan's Showtime is going to be he's going to be playing Ghostbusters, so listen to that.
It's on
Sunday.
I do enjoy his show. So.
It's really good. He goes, Hot Bear Showtime, yeah, Sundays.
We go out on BCFM, which is our lovely home station here, 92.2 FM, but we also simulcast on Pirate Nation Radio. He's on Pirate Nation Radio,
yeah.
Isn't he? So,
yeah.
If you're into show tunes and the like, it's,
well, if you
really
listen
good.
To Elaine Page, just carry on then listening to Ivan because he follows her show.
Oh, does he? Oh, right. So anyway, welcome. I think it's first time on the show, isn't it?
I think first time.
Welcome to shout out to Mark Fabrash, who are you supposed to call you by your sister name?
Oh,
hang on, I've got to look it up. I wrote it down. Okay, sister Syke.
Yes, it's the psychedelia of the wholly unconscious.
Yes, we have nuns in the studio.
Yes, hence the show being called Halloween Habits. So, obviously, we spoke to a very good friend of yours, a lovely nun who taught for Scotland. And she came in to tell us all about it. But give us a bit of a refresher, because we're here to talk about the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence.
That's real.
And I hadn't even heard of them until we did the last show on it. But you date back all the way to the 70s, don't you?
Yes, the late 70s, 1979-ish.
Right.
When a group of friends in San Francisco went out dressed as nuns around the town. And then later on, they started to form a group after one of them... develops some strange rashes, and then they
I'm not going to ask any questions at all.
Well, no,
but
I think it was actually quite serious.
It was a quite serious rash. It was the rash.
Oh, sorry,
the
I thought you were
HIV.
Being flippant.
No. So what they did was they got together with other members of the gay community and were asking about the forming of this rash and getting more information about it.
Was in the days before we knew what HIV was.
And
the rash was one of the first symptoms. Not everybody got the rash, but it was one of the first symptoms.
And from that came one of the first safer sex leaflets, Play Safe, that's still used today, and that was done by the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence.
Now, of course, they were also made very famous in the TV show, weren't they? The Tale of Two Cities.
Yes.
Because anyone that's seen that will remember these weird two nuns on roller skates going past. They didn't really have much context in the series that they did on TV, but that was actually who they were. They were Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence.
Good publicity.
So now, of course, it's a very American thing originally.
Yes.
The friend, I forget his name as well, it was Sister Anticipation.
Sister Anne.
But she was from Scotland.
Yes. Do you want to know more about that?
Well, but is that where it was started? Over here?
It started with some members from the Edinburgh, the Convent of Dunedin.
Right.
And they came down, Tiger and a couple of other people came down to help us set it up here. And you might have seen them walking around at the last Pride.
Yes.
Very recognisable.
Yes. You couldn't miss them.
Couldn't miss them at all. No, you can't. They were coming to set up there'd been a call for a convent or a mission to be set up here. And they had they went around Pride and talking to people, and that's when I joined. But previously, I had been since about 10, 15 years now, I just wanted to join the Sisters. Suddenly seeing them at Pride, as I said, I'm in, I'm there.
So is it now official? We have... what do you call a collection of nuns?
Oh, a convent, I think.
Oh, is it? Oh, okay.
We have a convent.
It's a gaggle. It's
a gaggle or a flamboyance.
A flamboyance,
of
yeah. But we have an order here in Bristol now, don't we?
We do. Well, we almost do. We're still a mission.
Right.
Which basically just means that we're still small and we're still setting up. At some point in the future, we're going to work towards a kind of convent status and recognition, and then at that point we will hold a huge party, because why not celebrate things?
Cool. Now, I should point out for those listening, this is not a religious thing.
This is all
a safer sex campaign.
Well, I'm sure we'll be coming up with actually the good stuff you actually do.
Yes.
That would be quite interesting, and I'm sure that the thing about dressing with nuns, you can't miss it. It's going to catch attention. It's good publicity. It's a damn good way of doing the charity work that you do.
Mm. Yeah, and also one of the really good things about it is it starts a conversation, because you're dressed so differently, and we're handing out you'll quite often see us on the town handing out safer sex supplies, and it quite often starts a conversation to people, even about their upbringing or Catholic upbringing, whatever. But it starts the why are you going around doing this? Why are you dressing up as nuns? Why are you handing me condoms and lube, or condoms, or dental dams, or anything? And it's a really nice way to you become less human, and people open up to you more, which is really nice. Because we say our face is a mirror.
This is going to sound so naive.
Go on.
Dental dam.
Dental dam.
It must be my age.
It's a piece of stretchy, I don't think it's made of rubber, it's a synthetic
kind of
latex
kind of thing.
But it's basically a protective layer for oral sex.
Yeah, so if you're going to, anywhere you're going to put your mouth,
listeners.
Yeah.
Cover.
I had to ask.
Called a dental dam.
I remember that one.
We're currently at the moment trying to do, we've got a survey going out
Yes, I've seen it.
Yes, I think you signed it as well, haven't you?
I think I have, actually.
Yay.
Yes. I saw it pop up on Facebook. I have a funny feeling we've shared it on the shout-out page as well.
Which would be amazing if you have, yeah. We're trying to figure out, we're currently supplied by the Terence Higgins Trust to hand out packs of condoms and lube, but we're trying to be trans-inclusive and inclusive of lesbians and reflective of the wider community. The survey at the moment is trying to figure out what there is a need for to be handed out and to be conveniently there, which is what we do.
Yeah, so if you see it pop up, it's where we're filling out. So,
yes, please.
It gives you an idea of the kind of people that you're, well, I suppose, targeting. So are you also kind of doing one in person when you kind of like out? Because, I mean, obviously, traditionally, it's always been when people are out clubbing and there's alcohol in the mix and the like, the safe sex message becomes even more important because, you know, sticking a condom in your pocket is neither here nor there when you're out and about and could end up stopping you from catching something. But when you're at home, you're more likely to have them to hand and the like. So are you asking people when you're out and about in town what kind of things that they're looking for?
Yes, we do. That's why that's one of the reasons we changed. We've changed the way that we do the packs now, because previously we would just do packs of condoms and lube like you get from the condom machines in clubs.
But
obviously they're not very useful for people like lesbians, so we're trying to, at least at the moment, trying to make an effort to be able to hand out just lube, or just lube we can do at the moment, but we're looking at supplying different things to what people like lesbians and transgender people want.
Cool. Well, I mean, it's interesting because, I mean, the safe sex message has been there ever since I can remember.
Yeah.
In fact, I remember the days when it was quite in your face and had horrible crashing tombstones and the like, but moved away from that. I mean, we should point out, if you are out in town in Bristol, we are quite lucky here. Pretty much most of the clubs and bars will have free condom and lube dispensing somewhere in there, and if they don't, just ask at the bar. So, but obviously it's great if you're going around and making people more aware, because you're there in person, whereas someone spotting a machine in the corner isn't always...
we're kind of hammering in
so
the point.
Easy. Yeah. So.
Can I... you might not know the answer to this. Is there an issue at the moment, not just in Bristol, but across the country, with sexually transmitted diseases, or is it
it's
lessened?
It's always an issue, isn't it?
I know it's an issue, but is it lessened, or is it quite prolific at the moment?
It's still...
Statistically, it's the younger, the less aware that think that, you know, HIV is just a pill you pop to get rid of these days that causes the big issues, I believe. Whereas, of course, we're the generation that remember the horrible...
Yeah, there was no cure.
Yeah, and, I mean, to this day, it frightens living daylights out of me. Now, the fact that it's a lot easier to live with these days is a really good thing. There's no one denying that. But what a lot of people, especially younger generations, seem to be less aware of is that it's not the only thing you can catch.
Mm-hmm. But that's why you said sexually transmitted diseases, as in encompassing all of it.
But I mean, safer sex came around a lot because of the HIV crisis. I mean, obviously, there's things like Hep B and Hep C, and
chlamydia, etc. Yeah,
So it's also worth, and some of them, a condom doesn't really make much difference.
No, but a condom will.
Yeah, a lot of them do. Yeah, but I mean, also getting regularly checked is another vital thing to do. So, and it's not embarrassing like it used to be. I remember going when I was 18; it was horrific. I don't have a problem going at all these days because they're always really nice and really friendly, and treat you like a human being and just genuinely want to help. And if something's wrong, they'll give you the perfect advice and get you on the medication to, you know, hopefully get rid of it, depending on what it is. I don't think it's ever going to go away, is it?
There is a problem at the moment with the amount of people who have contracted HIV that don't know that they have.
Yeah.
So you're almost equally as likely to pick up HIV from someone who doesn't know that they have it.
Right.
Or actually, you're actually... equally or more as likely.
Because like you said, that rash that you get is not necessarily there every time.
No, sometimes
there is no sign, is that right?
Some people get no signs at all.
Right.
And that's one of the reasons that getting checked is really important.
Yes.
Because then you're...
Most people who are HIV and know their status and are on medication are highly unlikely to pass it on.
It's people that don't know,
are in that really infectious stage, but have no idea they have it and are having unprotected sex. That is the big issue on the scene, or not just on the scene. I mean,
just
with anyone in general, and it's not just a gay thing either. It does affect the heterosexual population as well.
Yeah. What's the recommended checkups then if you're sexually active? to the clinics and check.
3 months,
3 to 6 months.
I mean, if you're actively having sexual intercourse on a weekly basis, it should be at least every three months.
Right. Okay.
Because some of these things, you've got a period where it's quite easy to get cured, and you know, get you on something like antibiotics and get over it quite quick. If you leave it,
get a lot worse.
Some of them will actually hide for a couple of years and then are a lot worse later on. So it's worth having regular checkups.
Am I right in saying, though, that most other sexually transmitted diseases, people are usually quite aware because there's something going on?
Yeah, you can see something with a lot of things.
Yeah. But again, there are a lot that you don't know, you don't see any symptoms that can be dead easy to get rid of. They're a strong antibiotic or something like that. But you need to do that soon after you get it, not 3 years down the line when it's done a lot of damage. Yeah. But of course, we're talking about all the negative stuff. The whole point of the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence is to make this...
is to celebrate life
aware.
And celebrate and make people aware.
And you do it in a really comical, fun way, which is the nice thing about it, because it's very easy, as we've just demonstrated, to get very serious about it.
We try and make it light-hearted.
Yeah. So what's the plan going forward? Because how many... there was, what, four or five of you at the moment?
There's four or five of us at the moment.
What would you like to get to? Do you have a... Would you like to be like 50 or 100?
Well,
strong,
see, I've got this image of a legion of nuns, of good, like 2,000 strong. But I don't think that's going
to
happen.
It's when we get to having nun pride. With
yeah, that'd be amazing. Let's do that. Let's make it happen. No, I think maybe somewhere between 10 and 15 would be absolutely perfect.
Yeah.
Don't know how doable, but you can always try and you can always hope.
How often are you kind of like out and about?
Out and about. We try and go once a month.
Right.
And then we'll do once a month and go out around Frogmore Street in Old Market. And then
if you're targeting not just because traditionally it's been very much aimed at gay men, isn't it? Are you doing some of the like female only events like Hush and the like? If you're targeting lesbian or the tea girl parties that they have at the Shilling, are you planning to attend some of those?
We have things in the works.
Yeah.
So I'm not giving anything away yet, but we're trying to get to as much stuff as
so
possible.
If you go out for a night of fun and you suddenly get inundated by nuns, you'll know what else
you'll know
is
exactly
going on.
What's happening, yeah.
So if people would like to get involved, whether it be because they want to find out more about you know, sexual information, sexual education, etc., and the work you're doing there, or if they perhaps even fancy becoming a nun themselves.
Yeah, fancy becoming a nun.
What
or
do they need
if,
to do?
You can get in touch with us. We are on Facebook. We've got a page for the public. If you search Order of Perpetual Indulgence Bristol, you'll come up with us in there. Or we've got an email address, opibristol@gmail.com.
Cool.
You can get in touch with us. We always like hearing emails, so even if it's just to say how fabulous I am.
I haven't seen you in your habit. I'm looking forward to that. So have you got your habits?
Not with me, but I do.
No, but have you got one yet?
Yeah, I've got it. I've made it. Oh. It's lovely. It's beautiful.
I will have to get you to send us a photo next time you're out. We'll stick it on Chatterts pages.
Yes, we do. We put loads of photos on our public page as well. Like, we went out yesterday, so I'm just looking through the Halloween photos.
Oh, fab.
That's why I'm absolutely covered in glitter.
You're covered in glitter.
Battle scars.
We wondered.
Yeah.
So, well, listen, I hope it goes well. It's brilliant safe sex campaign.
Thank you very much.
And a fun one to boot as well.
Yes.
And I really hope it works out. And do stay in touch. Let us know how it goes, especially as you grow.
Yes, we will do.
And what we'll do is we'll make sure we put all the links on our website, as we usually do as well. So anyway, stay with us. You're listening to Shout Out,
the Shout Out Podcast.
Yeah! We're doing the action series.
And then a step to the right.
Oh, go Mitch, go.
I can't hear myself.
But we can hear you.
Oh, that's great. That's great, because I can't hear myself.
You know it's dangerous singing in front of him, don't you?
Is he tricky? Is he tricky on the microphone?
He's tricky because he'll catch it all and play it back later at another time.
You know me. I'll turn it into a jingle or something.
We love the time warp.
So what about Laverne Cox then?
Oh, yes. She's the new Frankenfurter, isn't she?
I didn't get that idea.
Yeah. Get your head around that one, everyone.
Yeah, that twists your lemon, I bet.
Yeah, so what we have, a transgender woman playing a transvestite
man.
Yeah. Is there transvestite? I guess.
Transvestite, but he's also, bisexual in the film as well.
Oh, right.
Yes. Yes, he is, isn't he?
Or pan, even.
Or pan, even.
I don't think the term pan existed when Rocky Horror was written.
Probably not.
That's what he's displaying, though, isn't it?
1975, that was.
Was it, really?
1975.
I wasn't even born.
No, he just didn't care which one.
We've just had its anniversary.
Bless.
Anyway, it's time for some news with the twins.
Yes.
This is Shout Out News on Thursday, the 29th of October.
The petition website allout.com reports that so far their petition of more than 20,000 signatures has failed to sway Utah Governor Gary Herbert, who has agreed to welcome the World Congress of Families, a group with a track record of opposing gay human rights all over the globe. All Out say that the group is holding its conference in Salt Lake City, where they will be planning attacks on LGBT families internationally.
The feminist group English Collective of Prostitutes has written to its supporters and campaign groups around sexual freedom. ECP says that a new bill being debated by the House of Lords will undermine the safety of female sex workers by making it an offence to advertise the services of a brothel or prostitute. ECP claim that preventing sex workers from advertising would undermine their ability to work independently and safely. Banning advertising will force sex workers out of premises, and many will end up on the street, where it's 10 times more dangerous to work.
Singer Mark Almond has joined the lineup of performers at the Peter Thatchell Foundation's Equality Ball on Saturday, the 28th of November. Also singing are Ronan Park and Heather Peace, with dance music from the acclaimed Delta Band. The guest of honour, Sir Ian McKellen. The Equality Ball takes place at the palatial Old Town Hall, 29 Broadway, Stratford. The theme is Baubles and Bling, Dress to Impress. Tickets are £50 per person, which includes a welcome drink and buffet dinner. For more information, visit the Peter Thatchell website online.
The Bath Chronicle newspaper says that a local mum is distraught after her transgender daughter was sent to an all-male prison by Bath magistrates. 26-year-old Tara Hudson has lived as a woman for her whole adult life and has undergone gender confirmation surgery. She was sentenced on Friday, October 23rd, to 12 weeks at the Category 2 HM prison, Bristol, after admitting assault. Meanwhile, a petition has been launched to encourage prison authorities to transfer Ms. Hudson to an all-female prison. The Bath Gender Equality Network has launched a campaign in association with the petition website change.org. The campaign is also backed by Bath Feminist Network and can be found via a link on the Shout Out website. And in breaking news today, the gay newswire Pink News reports that Ms. Hudson is to appear before Bristol magistrates on Friday to appeal the severity of her sentence and argue her case for a non-custodial sentence instead.
Transgender activists and radical feminists have often clashed in recent years. Most recently over Aussie Motormouth, so quoted one blogger, Jermaine Greer's comments. However, they have united at Bristol University to oppose a talk by a blogger called Milo Yiannopoulos, who is known for gaining attention with his feminist and trans-baiting online. Speaking to the Bristol Post newspaper, student Amy Oliver said that she felt that by turning him into a controversy, the Journalist Society was drumming up more interest in what she said were his ignorant views.
Intersex Awareness Day fell on Monday, the 26th of October, raising the profile of people who are born between the two traditional sex definitions of male and female. Intersex rights are still very much in their infancy, and intersex people are only just beginning to use the internet to find their voice. To mark the day, British intersex activists published a critique of many contemporary models of intersex law and medicine and challenged the way in which parts of society still view intersex bodies. There's a plethora of information available online, so why not explore the intersex web? We've linked to it on our news site.
It's that time of year for scares and thrills as thousands of people hold Halloween parties. Like Christmas... Oh, sorry there, we used the C word and it's still October. Oops. There's a feeling that contemporary Halloween has lost its meaning as an ancient Celtic and pagan festival. So Gay Star News has some advice on which hearty homophobe you can ridicule by dressing up as this year. On the list are Kim Davis, the Pope, Donald Trump, and an assortment of other ghoulish figures. Pop along to our website for a link to the full hit parade.
And finally, one of the family of radio stations that broadcasts Shout Out is preparing for its autumn charity fundraiser. Brace Radio broadcasts from studios at Windmill City Farm over the internet. On Friday the 27th of November at 10 a.m, the station will start a marathon 24-hour live broadcast hosted by DJ Gary B and a host of other presenters in aid of Bristol Children's Hospital. Take a look at our website for more information. We've popped a link up on the online.
Yeah, and so for these news stories and more, check out the website at shoutoutradio.org.uk.
For Shout Out News, this has been Tweedledee
and Tweedledumdum.
Shout Out News, national and international LGBT news for you.
Shout out
LGBT radio for you.
Are you gonna tell them why you're twins?
Well, we just found out we were born the same year,
just months apart,
just minutes.
We're both dragons, aren't we?
We're both dragons.
We're like the Game of Thrones dragons.
Just in case you're wondering why I said the news is coming from the twins, I completely threw the pair of you, didn't it?
So. No.
Anyway, stay with us. You're listening to Shout Out. Still to come, Pagan Pride and the true meaning of Halloween.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Somebody's watching me, that's my Beat Freaks. So I quite like that one, don't you?
Mm.
Yeah. I've got a really cool one coming up for you later as well. It's called Thriller, Heads Will Roll.
Oh.
It's a cross.
I played two mixes of Thriller on Monday.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, two different ones, yeah.
So where are we? We're 29th, so what are we, Thursday? So it's going to be Saturday.
Yes.
It's actually Halloween, isn't it?
Yes.
All Hallows Eve.
Yes, so. It is.
Now, you've been doing some sort of related stuff because...
Earlier in the year, I popped down to Southampton.
Yeah.
There's two Pagan Prides. There's one UK one, which is in Nottinghamshire. But there's South UK one, which is Southampton. And I popped down there to have a chat to find out more. I'm on location at the moment in Southampton. I'm at a Pagan Pride, and I'm with a couple of the organisers, Becky and Jonathan. Let's go back and do a bit of history.
I think paganism these days is kind of different from what people think of as historic paganism. So before Christianity came to the British Isles, we would describe the religion as being pagan. And in recent years, certainly from the 1950s onwards, there's been a huge increase in people calling themselves pagans. And if you look at the national census statistics, paganism is probably the biggest growing religion in the United Kingdom. Some of us believe in one God, lots of us believe in many gods. It doesn't really matter, because it's something that's quite personal to you. So it's very different from organised religion.
Now, I've been in LGBT media since about 1993 now. And I've noticed that a lot of LGBT people are connected with paganism.
We are, as pagans, generally much more open to everything, really. I mean, my personal view is that you're happy, whereas obviously being a Christian, you're taught against these kind of things and you have to follow what someone else says. So I think definitely, as far as anything is concerned, paganism is always very accepting.
What is your connection with religion? Are you easygoing with other religions?
I think that's quite personal to each individual. Most of us as a whole probably don't have much of an issue with any other religion, but like most places, you do get the odd one or two who are particularly against other religions. But I think generally...
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a very easygoing thing. I mean, I've studied religion, so I have several degrees in the study of religions. And I think that the fascinating thing is that most of them have some really good things going for them, which is why people follow them. Well, I think we have to talk in terms of Christianities, in as much as some forms of Christianity are very open-minded and others are not. And obviously we have to respect people's beliefs, even if there isn't a great deal of evidence to support their belief.
And is it matriarchal?
Oh, well, that's an interesting one. I think certain forms of paganism definitely are matriarchal. So I'm a witch myself, and I have been trained in covens.
Now, before we go on, explain the difference between a witch and a warlock then, because usually people tend to think of a witch as female and a warlock as a male equivalent.
Yeah, absolutely, utterly untrue. I've been a witch for 20 years, never met a male witch who called themselves a warlock. My understanding of the word warlock is it is essentially kind of Scottish and it involves being an oath breaker. Now, as a pagan, I believe I should keep my word. So the term warlock is not one I'd be happy with.
Tell me more about the history. I'm quite intrigued with the history of paganism.
In the British Isles, we've always had a real interest in paganism. So if you go around stately homes, for example, you'll see that their gardens are very, very influenced by paganism, statues to Roman and Greek gods and goddesses.
Is it true, though, that the Christian church, when it started, took all its dates and celebrations from the pagan world?
I think pretty much so. I don't think any thinking Christian is really going to say that Jesus was born on the 25th of December, because the dates don't stack up. We know that's a pagan celebration. It's a celebration of Yule. And I think that's what religions do, that they kind of borrow ideas from each other. So if Christians want to celebrate the birth of Jesus and we want to celebrate the rebirth of the sun at approximately the same time, well, good for them and good for us. In terms of how people feel, then clearly there are some issues facing us as a global community. There are some environmental issues, there are issues of wealth and poverty, and there are issues of gender inequality and sexuality. And I think paganism addresses all those. Now, obviously, we've got a long way to go. There's just so much more that we could be doing.
Now, the church does tend to lean towards male dominance, doesn't it? And they seem to be kicking and screaming to women taking any power. I guess that's totally different in paganism.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, clearly, we are who we are. And some people are better at leading and other people are better at just helping out and doing. But because paganism honours the goddess as well as the god, then we have kind of archetypes and role models and real gods and goddesses that can inspire us in the kind of people we are and the kind of people we want to become. And I think one of the reasons why I'm not a Christian or any other religion other than paganism is because there is not a goddess in those religions. And as a man, I feel that I must be balanced out by female energy. And I think that's reflected in how paganism does its stuff, that we see men and women and straight men and women and gay men and women and all stations in between being able to do that. And I think that's a fantastic thing. It should be celebrated.
Absolutely. I'm all with that. The rainbow.
The wonderful thing about paganism is because you don't have to subscribe to a particular set of beliefs, it's very hard to find someone in conversation who doesn't agree with the basic ideas of paganism. So theoretically, anyone who does not have a belief system that they term as something is a pagan, because we all know that we have to look after the earth, we all know that we need to respect each other and show equality through gender and sexuality, all of those things.
Thank you so much. It's been a real breeze coming down here and really nice to have met you.
For Shoutout, this has been Steffi Barnett. For more information on Pagan Pride, you can go to the national site paganpride.org.uk, or for Pagan Pride in the South, it's paganpridesouth.co.uk.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
How's that for a mix for you?
That's quite good. Like that.
Is that some kind of... Is that some kind of remix?
Yeah. It's actually by Glee, that one. But it's one of the best remixes I've ever heard. Cross of two kind of Halloween-y type tracks. So I thought I'd shove it on, seeing as it's kind of Halloween. So it's always fun doing a theme show.
Yeah.
I just have to try and make sure that I don't pick the same tracks that I picked last year, else we end up with a bit of a problem. And I listen back and I'm like, oh, we played those last year. Oops.
Right. So.
Anyway, Mitch, hello. I believe you've been doing some fact-finding for us about the true meaning of Halloween. I'm going to move my monitor so
I can see
you.
Hello. Hi, I can just see Steph through cracks.
Yes, I know it gets its name from All Hallows' Eve.
Yes.
Sometimes also referred to, as various other things, isn't it? The Dia de la Muerta, I believe, in other countries.
Yeah, so Day of the Dead.
Oh, that's the Mexican one, isn't
it? Yeah, Day of the Dead. And that's a little bit more accurate to its actual true meaning as well, really.
It's quite a big festival in Mexico, isn't it?
Very
But it's not a creepy, ghouly thing like we have over here. It's all kind of a real celebration.
And that's what it initially was, as a Celtic and pagan festival as well. It was the beginning of a new year, the end of an old year, and the beginning of a new year. So it was more about
a new year thing.
Yes, it's a Celtic new year.
Oh, I didn't realise that.
So, you know, it's about getting ready for winter and storing your provisions and also the veil. between the worlds is thinnest, which means you can communicate with your ancestors, which is probably where the Day of the Dead originated as well, because All Hallows Day is a Christian festival. So as we know, a lot of the Christians adopted pagan festivals.
Well, typically,
to draw in the crowds, really. Yeah.
But when I was researching it, there was lots of, you know, certain Christians will say that it was actually their day in the first place, but you can actually predate paganism.
It's very ancient. It's certainly a very ancient festival.
Yeah, it predates Christians, you know, and I mean, you know, rituals. You write down the weaknesses that you've had. And you burn them or toss them into the fire, so you make a fire.
They burn money and all sorts, don't they?
Well, you know, and it's a way of getting rid of the weak things and the things that aren't going to survive winter. And
so, do we know where our kind of interpretation with witches and ghosts and ghouls come from? I mean, ghosts and ghouls I can kind of get because it's the spirit of the dead, isn't it?
Yeah.
But where do witches and the like come from?
Well, I think that's patriarchal fear, to be honest.
Oh, is it?
I think it's more about, you know, misinterpreting, you know, the rituals and celebrations at those times of years within those, you know.
So do you think
religions?
It was just invented to scare the kids
into
behaving?
It's a way, you know, because, you know, between the 14th and I think it was between the 14th and 17th century, there was 14 million, or no, 9th century, wasn't it, and 14th century, no. Anyway, 9 million, over 9 million European women were burnt at the stake for being a witch, and they were mostly midwives, healers and teachers of the village. Yeah. And they may have been on their own, and they may have been like, you know, grumpy old ladies on their own running around picking herbs, but they would still get burnt for those. And so there was a lot of fear and stigmatism around being...
They used to be weird things, didn't they?
You know, if
you
drowned... A wizened old lady.
If you drowned, you weren't a witch, but you'd be dead. And if you didn't drown, you were a witch, so they burned you at the stake.
Yeah,
and
so it was just a lose-lose.
So you just lose-lose, yeah.
Lose-lose. Mm.
So but can I just say... weird things back then anyway,
they
didn't
did.
They?
Can I just say, you know, I've got a lovely quote from a book by Starhawk, who's very inspirational in terms of, like...
Modern
witchcraft and Wiccan... witchcraft. What she says here is, women were never sacrificed in witchcraft. Women shed their own blood monthly and risked death in service to the life force with every pregnancy and birth, and for this reason their bodies were considered sacred and held inviolate. And no true witch today practices human sacrifice, torture, or any form of ritual murder. Anyone who does is not a witch, but a psychopath, which I thought was just... I thought that was absolutely...
Yeah.
You know, really, you know, that says it all, really. Mm. You know, people were never sacrificed because there wasn't a need to do that, you know, in order to praise the goddess. She doesn't need blood.
You've got kids. Are your kids the age you could be out trick-or-treating? Are you taking them
out?
Well,
the grandkids are.
Oh, the grandkids.
They call it trick-or-treating anyway.
Trickle. This is the Bristolianism, isn't it?
It's
trick-or-treating.
Trick-or-treat. And that's so American, isn't it? So sort of like, you know.
There is a lot that's come over from America, isn't there?
There is.
So.
Yeah. It is about, you know, the cakes and offerings and things like that. That's all part of it.
Well, it's all good fun, isn't it? Yeah. I used to love trick-or-treating. Yeah. It was great when I was a kid. So. Anyway, that is it for this week. Do you have a wonderful Halloween, whatever you're planning, and also make sure you stay safe, won't you?
Yeah, stay safe.
And our brand new website is launching very soon. But now go to shoutoutradio.org.uk if you want to grab the podcast or any other information.
Now, next week we will be back on our best behaviour, I promise, because Avon and Somerset Police are going to be in with us, and we'll be talking all about hate crime. So, but from myself and the ghoulish team and the twins and the like, say bye-bye, everyone.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.